Chavdal Adar, Toshim Pehe, Harav Eli Asher Shlita. One second.
Right, I'd like to speak about an interesting shaila, which comes up fairly often, and that's the shaila of kickbacks. So before we discuss what halacha is or kickback, I just want to explain what a kickback is. So kickback is really another word for a commission. So it's understandable, it's accepted in the world, that you give somebody a job, you recommend him a good customer, he'll give you some kind of benefit, some kind of commission for giving him this work. So some people in their businesses, in their position, they're in a position where they have opportunities to make this extra benefit. For example, if I'm a manager, office manager in a big company, let's say a chain of care homes. I run a chain of care homes. It's not my care homes, but I run the office. So I make huge orders every week of food, drink, furniture. Sometimes I have to replace beds, chairs, medication. Endless amount of orders I make. Adds up to thousands of pounds. Any shop, any supplier would dream for me to be their customer. So I have thousands of pounds worth of orders. So am I allowed to approach one of these shops, one of these businesses, and ask them, if they'll make it worth it for me, they'll make a deal for me with me personally, then I'm happy to use them as a supplier for this chain of care homes. The same thing could happen, which is very relevant as well, is property managers. Property managers, they have many workers. Plumbers, electricians, painters, builders, you name it. So many workers, they use them regularly. Are they allowed to approach one of these workers and tell them, if you make it worth it for me, I manage 200-300 properties. If you do a deal with me personally, you give me some kind of benefit, a kickback, then I'm happy to use you for all my jobs, and I can keep you busy all day, every day. Are they allowed to do this? So we'll discuss property managers, because that seems to be more common. So I've spoken to people on both sides of the fence. I've spoken to people with property managers, and I've spoken to people who work for property managers. And I've made some interesting observations. So some property managers, the way they work is, straight as a poker, they take the 10% management, and they don't ask for anything else. They don't take commissions, they don't take kickbacks, nothing. Those who do that, kodoshim aloi, we have no shaila, that's the ideal way to work. They do the job benemonos, they pay to do a job, they pay 10% commission, they don't try to make any more, kodoshim aloi. Others, they have the opportunity to make a commission. You can understand them as well. They want to make a commission. They want to get from both sides. They're paid to do a job. Some people don't understand they shouldn't want to make a job on both sides. But I'm not going to whether they should or whether they shouldn't. But some they do. So there's three ways where I've noticed that they take an extra benefit. What are these three ways? So the first way is inflated invoices. As somebody told me, it's a bit of a horror story. So it is extreme, but it is a true horror story. He told me, I'm going to change details so you shouldn't can't know who it is. He's let's call him an electrician. He was asked by a property manager to do him a specialized electrical job. So fine, he's happy to do the job. How much was the price? Worked out £2,000. He told him it's £2,000. So the manager told him, do me a favor. It's £2,000, but the landlord has no idea. He'll pay whatever I want. Please write an invoice of £5,000. And give me back £3,000 as a commission for recommending your services. So he asked the shaila, is he allowed to supply the invoice?
It's probably illegal, though.
Definitely illegal. Definitely illegal.
He'll have to pay tax on £5,000, isn't he?
He's happy to pay the tax.
Kickbacks are illegal in this case.
Okay, and besides, for charging £5,000, obviously he's going to charge 10% commission on the £5,000 as well.
Yeah.
So now, he didn't have the shaila for some reason, but the electrician had the shaila, is he allowed to supply this invoice? So obviously, I think everybody would agree that it's pure gezel, outright gezel, there's no shaila about it, he's got no head in the world to charge more than what it costs him. He can't charge £5,000.
The manager says, I'll look after everything for you. He says, right, I'm finished with £2,000, I'm charging
£3,000. Right, okay, so that's what you want to say, we'll get there in a minute. I'll tell you two reasons why I don't think so, why others also don't think so. We'll get there. I'll get back to you. I definitely want to address what you're saying. So now others do this as well, but not as extreme, not extreme figures. But two workers told me that they've been asked to inflate the prices, and they want to know, are they allowed to do it? So the answer, before we explain the reason, is that they can't. I spoke to Chaim Malta, he said that definitely out of the question. And also the workers cannot provide the invoice. They can't say it's his issue. He's doing something wrong. It's wrong for them also to supply these invoices. I'll explain why in a minute. So that's number one. That's the first way some of them make a profit. The second way they make a profit is through discounts. It's very understandable. It's very, very accepted, very common that when you have a worker, he works for you often, and he gives you discounts. So now, who should give you this discount? You have a property manager. Let's say he needs a boiler for one of the properties he's managing, and it costs on the market £2,000 for this job. So now he's got a good relationship with a plumber. The plumber will do him a 10% discount. He'll give it to him for £1,800. Now, who should gain this £200 benefit? Does it go to the property manager, or does it go to the customer, to the landlord? No doubt the landlord. Anybody else? Property manager. So we have two clear opinions.
That's how the system is. Everyone makes a profit going down the line.
Good.
So
right.
Why do the property manager make a profit as well?
Right. Good. So I got a lift from somebody last week. He told me he does work for property managers. And I asked him, does he give kickbacks, commissions, discounts? So he said he works with discounts. He's got a regular customer, regular property manager who gives him jobs. He gives him a discount. He gives him, let's say he charges £100, he charges him 90.
He's been paid by the landlord.
Right, good. We'll get there. So he gets paid.
Who's paying the workers, landlord or the manager?
Okay, we'll see in a second. So this worker told me, I got a lift from him last week. I asked him, what does he do? Does he give a commission? He said he gives discounts. He's got regular customers, he gives them a discount. So I said, then what does he write on the invoice? So I said, the invoice, he writes a discount to drink. So I said, then what does the manager do? Does he keep the discount for himself or does he pass it on? So he said he doesn't know, but he'd imagine it would make sense to him. He'd understand that he keeps it for himself. That's what it's intended for. You'll come to me regularly. The landlord doesn't come to me regularly. He's got one property or whatever it is. He's coming to me as a one-off. The manager, he's my good customer. I'm happy to give him a discount, so I intend it for him. Whether he keeps it or passes it on, he doesn't know. So do you think he's right that should go to the manager or should it go to the landlord? So you think it should go to the manager, you think it should go to the landlord. So I want to ask you a question. There are builders, who have a system, for a pricing system. If I say I need an extension, so I can go out and get builders. Some builder will give me a quote, and some builder will tell me it's cost plus. The range of pricing arrangement is cost plus. That means I pay all their costs. Whatever costs of materials, machinery, insurance, whatever it is, I pay all their costs, plus I pay them an extra 20% for their labor. So let's say extension, the materials are going to cost them £100,000. So I'll pay the £100,000 for the expenses, and I'll also pay them £20,000 for their labor. So now what happens if they've got a membership card with the suppliers, let's say B&Q, and they get a 10% discount? So material, if I would have gone to buy it, would have cost me £100,000, and they've got a discount, they've got a membership card, they've got a discount, they paid £90,000. What was their cost? When the agreement was cost plus, their cost plus 20%, what was their cost? What was their cost, £100,000? What was their cost, £90,000? The cost was 90? 90. What was their cost?
Well, the 10,000 which the tradesman is profiting is the time when going to be picking up all the material, etc.
So if the arrangement is that you pay cost and you pay time, fine. But if the arrangement is you pay cost plus, so cost means cost, your cost was 90,000. How can you say your cost was 100,000? It wasn't. Had the landlord done it, then yes, it would have cost them 100,000. But if you're charging cost plus, then it's cost plus. That's the agreement. So the standard agreement between property managers, if you ask them what they charge, they'll tell you they charge for expenses. You pay for leaks, boilers, painters, whatever you pay the costs. Plus you pay, they'll tell you, they charge 10% management. So it seems to be that this is the arrangement. If the arrangement is different, fine. But the standard arrangement seems to be cost plus. You pay expenses, plus you pay the 10% management. So if you need to get a boiler done, and the boiler costs, if I would do it, it costs me £2,000. If they do it, they've got a membership card. The plumber knows them, the plumber's got a good arrangement with them, and he gives them a discount. So if the arrangement is cost plus and they paid £1,800, so it's very nice the plumber wanted to give them £200, but he didn't. He gave them a cheaper discount, and the cost at the end of the day was £1,800. So if they can only charge £1,800, they should not be able to keep this discount.
The difference if I get myself the 10% discount, or he gives me The shop gives me 10%.
If he'll give you the... Could you pay full price and he'll give you back a commission of 10%?
Yeah.
So that's a good shayla, that's the next stage that I want to get to as well. But so far with discounts, if the way it's structured is that the worker gives a discount to people, if the setup is, the way I understand it, standard setup of cost plus, then he wouldn't be able to keep the discount for himself, he'd have to pass on the discount. Another explanation is why the property manager shouldn't be able to keep it. This should address your problem. Is that there's two ways of employing somebody. If let's say if I need a painter, so I can get a secretary to call up and arrange for me, my secretary, I call her, please arrange a painter to paint my house. So if she gets a painter, the painter says £1,000, can she adjust the price? She can't adjust the price, she's just calling up for me. She doesn't come into the picture for her to adjust the price. She's nothing to do with it, she's just doing a service for me. She just, instead of me calling the painter, she's calling up the painter for me and she just passes on the painter's price. A contractor doesn't work like that. A contractor, if I ask him to arrange for me a painter, then whatever the painter charges him, he can charge whatever he wants. Why? What's the difference? What's the difference between a painter and a contractor? So the difference is, who's taking liability? Who's undertaking to do the job? A secretary doesn't undertake to do the job. She's just doing a phone call. She's not undertaking anything. She's not accepting any liability. If the job is sloppy and he's missed out all over the place, she'll just have to call somebody else tomorrow and bill the boss again. A contractor can't do that. A contractor, he undertakes to do this painting job. That means if it's not done properly, then it's his liability. He's got to take responsibility and put it right. He can't charge again. He's undertaken to do the job. If it wasn't done properly, then he's got to sort it out again. Now, what's a property manager? Is he like a secretary, that he's just doing the phone calls? Or is he a contractor and he's undertaken to do the work?
He's a contractor.
Now, what happens if the painting job was done sloppy and the painters run off to Poland? Who's going to pay to do it right? Is the property manager going to pay from his pocket to do it right, like a contractor would have to do? Or is he going to say, I got painters, it's nothing to do with me, I just ordered the painter, he didn't do a good job, I'll get another painter to do the job and I'll charge you again. What's he going to do?
The question is, has the property manager got liability or not?
But what's he going to do? He hasn't done liability, sure he doesn't have liability.
The point is,
so, do you know a property manager accepts liability?
He's managing the property 10% without giving liability to deliver.
To deliver what? That means he's got to do the phone calls and get you a plumber.
Yeah.
If the plumber puts in a boiler, he puts it in upside down and he's run off to Poland. Does he accept liability that he's going to pay for a new boiler? No. He's going to get a new plumber to put it right and he'll charge you again. If it's a contractor, he'll tell you that he's contracting, he's undertaken to do the work wasn't done properly, and he's got to put it right. So this, Mechari, is the second reason, I think this answers your question as well, that if he's not undertaking, he doesn't take any liability, he hasn't undertaken to do the project, he's just doing the phone calls like a secretary, then he's got no right to add on his costs. He's just got to pass on the costs like a secretary. Everybody understands the secretary can't add on costs. So a property manager, I would think, doesn't. I'm not coming to impose my opinion on anybody, but I'm happy to hear otherwise. But this is what it seems like to me.
The contractor, he's allowed to keep the discount.
A contractor, he's undertaken to do the work.
That's his business.
That's his business, exactly. And why is that? The secretary can't do that. Why? Because the contractor, he's undertaken the job and he's got responsibility. So that's why, really, the plumber's working, the plumber or painter is working for him, not for the landlord. Because he's the one that's undertaken the job and he's subcontracting to others.
Your question was the contractor has given $100,000 to do this job.
Yeah.
He gets a discount. Does he say, he said it, I'm doing it, it's the cost.
Oh, if he said that, I'm not talking about a contractor, he does the cost plus.
He said, I'm doing it for cost plus
20%. Yeah, if it's cost plus, but not all contractors work cost plus.
I'm talking about a contractor, I'm doing it for cost plus, what does it cost me?
Yeah, 100%, if it's cost plus. But other contractors, I'm talking about a contractor who doesn't do cost plus.
Okay, so
the contractor who
doesn't say it's a cost, you can charge what you want.
He can charge what, exactly. Right. But a property manager can't do that, because a property manager, he said he charged 10%. And he hasn't undertaken to do a job. Like you wanted to suggest before, that this is how he works, he can charge whatever he wants. If he's a contractor, then he'd do that, but if he hasn't...
The manager's not a contractor.
That's all right, that's fine.
Is the property manager working for the landlord or with a separate business?
So normally they're working for the landlord. That's the setup.
Separate business doing property management.
But for the landlord, that's what property manager is.
But they have multiple landlords.
Okay, so he works for a lot of landlords. That's his business.
He's really a separate business.
He's a separate business working for people. A plumber also, he works for people. But so the secretary also has to be
says,
well.
I want my house painting. You say, right, it'll cost you, £5,000. I find it very difficult
to do. If you tell him, I'm going to charge you £5,000, then fine, you could do that. But then maybe you'd have to be a contractor. You have to accept liability. Or if you want to say, if you tell him up front, then you're fine. If you don't tell him up front, and the standard arrangement is that it's getting 10%, then you're like a secretary. What right have you got to add on the figures as well? So that's the second way. That's discounts. And so far, the few what we say. If anybody can tell me otherwise, I'm happy to accept. I'm looking for to be able to charge. But so far, for discounts, the chayyim they have to pass it on. The third way, which is there might be more room for leeway. And that's commissions. This is what you're suggesting. What about commissions? It's very understandable. I spoke to a few property managers. One of them told me that the way he works is that he charges management, nothing more. But he says he does get commission from, let's say a builder. He's got a builder who he uses regularly. The builder has an arrangement with him. He'll give him 10% commission on all the jobs. Any job, you bring the builder, you bring him a £50,000 job. Then you get at the end of the job when he gets paid, he'll give you back a check, £5,000. Is there anything wrong with that? So face value, that sounds nothing wrong. It's very understandable. It's very accepted in the market. I've given you a big job. You're making £50,000. Why can't I also make a share? Although I'm being paid from the landlord for carrying out this job, maybe I'm being made 10% by him as well. Because some people charge also an additional 10% on big jobs. But they also want to make 10% from the builder as well.
But it could be that the property managers now have completely conflicted.
Right, so we'll get to that.
Conflicting interests, they may look for a cheaper...
Good, excellent. Yeah, that one. I want to get to that. But besides for that conflict of interest, face value, it sounds very fair. Somebody else told me that he works for property managers. He said, I'm not going to give details who he is exactly, so we'll change his business. Let's call him a flooring company. He puts in flooring for businesses. He said he was given a few times to do for a new build. For him, it's a massive profit. And he said, very acceptable, very understandable, that the person who brings him this business, the property manager brings this business for a client, he's giving him a massive profit. He's happy to give him a commission. He understands that even if it's not discussed, he expects to get an invoice in the post for a commission. He says, very understandable, very accepted.
And you have to identify where does commission is coming from. It's coming from the profit of this builder, or is it being added on to the
cost? Yeah. If it's being added on, then it's unfair. But let's say it's not added on. Let's take it, best case, it's not being added on.
It's coming out of the tradesman profit.
Yeah, tradesman, he makes a profit. He gives a quote first, but before discussing commission, he says £100,000 to flooring for this new build. And then the property manager can send him an invoice, £5,000 commission for bringing you such a big job. So it sounds fair. I want to go through, there's a few potential issues. Firstly, there is a machlokes between the rabbanim. What's the halacha of a commission? Dan Berger, he's very strict on this, and he held any commission, we can look at it as a reduction. I don't really understand why, but there are other people I've spoken to, they also look at it. Every time there's a commission, it seems like whenever there's instant cash back, you give somebody a job, and you get cash back. So although it's two different people, I'm giving you a job for £100,000, and he's giving me cash back into my own pocket. But Dimeberger, I don't understand why. I tried to ask him for details. He told me I can call him this afternoon, so I'll find out hopefully this afternoon. I don't really understand entirely, but this is the way this is his approach. Commission is looked at reduction, and they cannot keep the commission either. It's a chiddush. I spoke to Chaim Motzer. He didn't seem to learn like that, because I asked him, what happens if he's already taken it? He said there's other issues why maybe a person shouldn't do it, but if he's taken it already, then it could be he could keep it. Dan Berger said no. I'll send him an email. If he's already done it, can you keep the commission? Dan Berger said no, he has to give it to the landlord. I asked Chaim Mocha, he said if he's done it already, he said he could probably keep it. So that's the first thing. That seems to be machlekas, how we view commissions. We also want to go through a few potential issues. Each property manager has to ask himself these issues. And if he can get around it, then it would be muta. And that is, the first question is that when somebody can get somebody working for an employer, and you can get him a good price. Is there a chiyuv to get your employer a better price than you could? Let's say if you're working for an office and you need paper. So you've got a relative who's got a shop and he's selling it for £100. But you can go further down the road and you can get it for £90. So I think most people would understand that. It would make sense that you can't cause your employer a loss. You can get it for £90. You have to buy it for £90. Now what happens if it's £100? That shop that sells £90, it says £100, negotiable. Can you just go and pay £100? Or if he said negotiable, means he's willing to charge less. So it would, I could understand, they could say, if it's still negotiable, then what are you paying £100 for? You're employed to do the best you can. Is the best you can also to negotiate a better price? So I could hear that it should follow that you should have to get a better price. The Shulchan Aruch writes a few times that how much a person has to do his best when he's working with an employer. Just took a notice four times that Shulchan Aruch makes a point of how well a person should work with his employer. In Shin Lam Zayin, he writes, "Muzar poyel shel levatel ma'at me'malachtoy." A poyel is caution that he shouldn't take off time from his work. He's working for an employer. You can't just take off time a bit here, a bit there. You're paid. Your duty is to work the best you can. Chayv ledaktik atzma calls man. You have to be medaktik on this man. Like we find in Chazal that even the bracha, the fourth bracha of benching, in Chazal's day they said you shouldn't bench it. You're wasting your employer's time. You can't do it. Secondly, says the Shulchan Aruch, Chayev la'aved l'chol koichoy. A person has to do his best. He has to do his utmost. He has to give up all he's got. Sheyakev v'tzadik omak, ki v'chol koichoy avad esavicha. And Yaakov Avinu, he was b'chira of us. He worked the best he could. And we learn from there that a person should work the best he could. And that's logic follows as well. Third case, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein apoy rasha'ay la'asoyis malachta ba'layla. What happens if somebody wants to take on an extra job? He works by day, and he also wants to take on an extra job to make some extra money to work by night. So if this job is going to impact his performance for his boss by the next day, he's going to be tired, he's not going to be performing half mass. So the Shulchan Aruch, Ein hapoyel rashai la'aseis malocha v'alayla u'lahaska asme v'yoyim. He can't work by night and also work by day. Last thing, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'layirav v'yisag of atzma, he also can't give some of his food. His children need food. He can't give the children his food if it's going to impact his performance as well. He's being paid to work. And he needs his strength. He can't give his food to his children and starve himself if it's going to impact his work. So if you see the Shulchan Aruch is so makbid about how a person behaves with his employer, that he has to do his utmost not to cause him a loss. So if you can get a cheaper price, then it should follow that you should have to get him the best price. Meiri says in the Mefurish. Meiri says, what happens if you have a very interesting Gemara? He explains the Gemara. Gemara says, what happens if you need a new worker for your business? And you're willing to pay £40,000 a year. So you tell your secretary, your manager, please get a good candidate for the business. I'm willing to pay £40,000. So the manager or the secretary, she puts out the ad, she interviews the candidates, and she takes somebody and she brings them to the boss. I've signed a contract with somebody, and guess what? I've got him for £30,000. So now this new candidate is livid. He could have got £40,000. The secretary's told him £30,000. And the boss said he's willing to pay £40,000. How much do you have to pay this new worker? Do you have to pay, like the boss said, £40,000? Or do you have to pay £30,000 because that's what they agreed? So he can have tarumas. But what right did this secretary have, or this manager have, to stop sticking their nose in and putting in £30,000? The employer said, I'm willing to pay £40,000. Why did she stick her nose in and say £30,000? Says the Meiri that the job of a worker is not only to work your best, but also to get the best price. So now, what happens if you have a property manager? He's got a builder who's willing to do a job, so to give him a quote £50,000. But he's also willing, you know he's willing, you go back to ask him for a commission, and you know he'll give you a commission. So that means he's willing to work for £45,000. So what have you got a right not to tell him, give the job £45,000? Have you got a right to say, no, charge my employer £50,000 and give me £5,000 in my pocket? Your job now, you're being paid to do a job with this property to get the best price you can. You could get it for £45,000. You know you could get it for £45,000. You know he's willing to work for less. So tell him, give it to me for £45,000. So according to that, that's one reason why even a commission, you shouldn't be asking for commission, you should be asking for a reduction. A second issue, which a property manager has to ask himself, is, like you were saying before, they're both saying, there's a conflict of interest. When a person has a conflict of interest, ask the property manager, who told me that he gets a commission from all his builders, ask him what would happen if the builder would put his prices up. Would he shop around, or would he stay with his builder? This builder is giving him a commission, and if it's higher, even better, you get a bigger commission. So he didn't answer on the spot. He'd have to think about it. He'd have to be honest with himself. He's got to be fair, and he'd have to get somebody else if he's put the prices up. And ask him also, what would be if this builder is not available for the next 4 weeks? So this property is going to stay empty for 4 weeks because you waited for this builder. If not for the commission, would you have gone to someone who looked for someone else? So if he has to be honest with himself. If he'd look for someone else, then he'd have to look for someone else. He wouldn't be able to do it. But there is always this conflict of interest. When somebody's getting £5,000, it's very hard to be honest with himself and look for something else. So that's the second issue that a person has to take into consideration. Conflict of interest.
If the secretary of defense has a bottle of whiskey recommending this particular building,
right?
Do you have to tell the boss I've got a bottle of whiskey for it?
So that's a good question. Dan Berger holds yes. Dan Berger holds not, and you have to tell them. If you don't tell them, you have to give it to him.
Well, you've got to tell the employer. You've definitely got to tell the employer.
So it could be you have to tell the employer. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I just let's try and call it on.
It's called bribery.
So you could say he should.
I appreciate you picking me.
You could say he shop around anyway. But it could be that once he's happy with his builder, he knows his builder gets fair prices. He knows he does good work. He doesn't want to shop around. I hear that's what he could debate. The third, we're running out of time. So the third issue, which a property manager also asks himself as final issue, is that often when you ask a builder, let's say stay with a builder, when he is going to give you a quote for a job, he's going to calculate his expenses first. If one of his expenses is going to be a commission, so that means he's going to post price up in order to get his commission. So again, you're causing somebody who does this, who's asking for commission, he's going to be causing his landlord a loss. If the way the worker works is he's going to be adding on to the price of the work because he's got to cater, he's got to accommodate for your commission, then again, you're going to be causing the landlord a loss. So this would again be a reason why it would be also for a person to ask for commission. So what's the solution? So ideally, there doesn't need to be a solution. Ideally, if a property manager could work, like we started off with, that lives as straight as a poker, they charge 10% commission, that's what they're paid for, that would be ideal. If they need to ask for a commission, and they feel this is the way to work, and it encourages them to work, maybe it's in the best interest of a landlord sometimes, that if a job needs to get done, and he's busy, and he can't get around to it, and he's not going to get around to it, he should, but he's not going to get around to it, he needs another push. So that a way to do it, a way to it would be, if he'd put in his terms and conditions, he'd write to all his landlords in the terms and conditions that we do accept commission for recommending our clients to builders. So then he's done away with all these three concerns. Mm-hmm. The fact that that he's not looking for, he's not asking for a reduction, the landlord knows, and the landlord's seen it in the terms and conditions, and he's accepted it. He knows he's not asking it, but it's worth it. Sometimes he feels that this property manager's worth it, he does good work, and he's willing to take him, although he's not going to ask for commission for himself. And if he doesn't like it, he can go to someone else. Someone else might be the same issue. But theoretically, he could go to someone else. He's seen that you're writing that you're going to claim a commission. So the fact that he's been moichel, he's allowed you to ask for this commission. Although you could ask for a reduction, he's allowed you. The second problem is conflict of interest. Yes, there is a conflict of interest, but your boss has allowed you to have this conflict of interest. And thirdly, that he's also allowed you that although it might cost him more in the long run because people are going to give higher quotes, but he's allowed you to do it. This Rari Tumi, he suggested this. But we have to stress and double stress that obviously this doesn't allow to actually go against the manager, your landlord's interest. If you know you could get cheaper, or you know that's going to take 3 months till the builder's available, then obviously you have to go take someone else. It doesn't allow you to go against the interest. It allows you that when that you have a conflict of interest, there's a suffix, there's a chashash, that maybe you won't, next time you won't do the ideal thing. Your boss has allowed you to take this chashash, to go into this deal, although there's a chashash. But to actually go against the landlord's interest, the avad nevdi udala. So, if we just summarize these what we discussed, the three ways that property managers do make a profit is inflated invoices, which lechor is gezel gomel, no shaila about it. To inflate invoices and make the landlord pay more is gezel gomel. Discounts, the way we discussed, the way I see it, the way it seems like the Olam Maskim, that discounts also should go to the landlord. It's that the managers work at a cost-plus arrangement. And if they want to change the arrangement, they can change the arrangement. But as it is, it's a cost-plus arrangement. And any cost that they have to pass on, any discount they also have to pass on, they can't keep it. The third way that property managers make extra profit is by commissions, via commissions. And although it does make sense, but they have to ask themselves three questions. Are they getting the best price for their boss? Do they have a conflict of interest? And is the worker putting out the price to accommodate for their accommodation? If any of the three answers is yes, then they can't do it. And also they have to remember is Dienberg and other of them hold that commission also have to be passed on. But if they want to be lenient, there's another opinion. And the solution would be, if they write in the terms and conditions exactly what they want to do, if they want to claim a commission, then if they write in the terms and conditions and the landlord has accepted it, then they can claim the commission. But obviously they can't go against the landlord's interest, and if they can get a better deal, then they should get a better deal. Just like to finish off with a Lashon Rambam, a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Tirus, the Rambam says a very nice lashon. He says, it says by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Yaakov Avinu became very wealthy. Why did he become very wealthy? It didn't make sense. Yaakov Avinu was working for Lavan. Lavan tricked him. It didn't make sense. How did he become wealthy? It says the Rambam, do you know why he became wealthy? He understands exactly for that reason. The Rambam says, I read his lashon. Yaakov Atzadik Omar, Kibbal Kol Kuchi Ovati Yis Avichen. I worked with all my koach, I gave all my best to work for your father, he was telling his wife. I worked for Lavan. Lefikach, therefore, not al schar zois, af po ilam azeh. He got this extra schar. He became wealthy because, against all odds, he should have been completely torn apart. He should have ended up with nothing. He was completely ripped off. He was tricked so many times. But what happened? He became wealthy against all odds. You do the Rebbeinu Shalom Rotson, and the Rebbeinu Shalom will give you avivah zayish ma'od ma'od. Every shmei zeicha to nesav nesav b'amunah, and to yifrei zayish ma'od ma'od, and zeicha ha'ashiris.